Minutes, 10 minutes. I'm gonna just want to share a couple things with you. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand this morning and turn in your Bibles to an unusual verse here, but over in Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. Maybe an unusual verse, maybe not be an unusual verse, but it's just kind of an interesting verse. For the wages of sin is death. Turn to somebody and say, wow. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I love that. I'm glad there's a but on that, right? Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to five people this morning, give them a high five, and say, God is so good. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. I won't get through this message today because of limited time, and I don't want to overtax you guys, but it's been so good this morning. We could all say amen right now and just go on home. It's been a delight, and so much word and so much good stuff, and I just love you so much this morning. It's been a challenging week in some ways, but you know what? I'm still in love with God, and He's still in love with me, and I'm still in love with people. So that's the big thing. You know, love people. Love people. Amen? Let God's love flow through our hearts. You know, a lot of churches, they'll take this verse and they'll focus on the first part. For the wages of sin is death. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't choose to focus on sin. Now listen to me. I am opposed to sin. Turn to somebody and say, Pastor is opposed to sin. I hate sin because sin is not what God intended for us. Amen? But my focus, rather, is grace because grace triumphs sin. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I really believe that, you know, a lot of churches, they focus on sin, and, you know, you can focus on sin, you can preach on sin, you can stir up, you know, all kinds of things, but I'd rather stir up God's love. Because the Bible says God's love covers a multitude of sins. Wow. Amen. And, you know, the Bible says God loved us while we were yet sinners. God loved us. I mean, that's an amazing thing that God loves us while we're yet sinners. Amen? Church shouldn't be a place of killing, but church should be a place of healing. I want to say that again. Church shouldn't be a place of killing, but it should be a place of healing. The Bible says that, you know, condemnation, when something that is condemned, no one lives there. Amen? When a building is condemned, you can't live in that building. And we don't receive condemnation. We receive grace. We receive the life of Jesus Christ. And when we started the church here at Discovery, we started this church, I did not want to start it on a religious platform. I wanted to truly start it on a grace platform. On a receiving platform, on whosoever will can come. And I was in a denomination for many years, and that denomination preached the law very, very hard. I mean, extremely hard. And I preached it hard because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. Until I came into the revelation of grace, and until I went to a certain church and found out, wow, this is truly grace. Turn to somebody and say, a drummer taught you a lot. I had a drummer at our church. His name was Steve Lobster. I called him Lobster, but his name was Loster. Steve Lobster. Steve Lobster was a professional drummer. Actually, he was a high school music teacher, and he was a professional drummer as well. Not only was he a professional drummer, but he also was a board member. And back in that day, the board members would vote you into a church. And the guy that left the church was a very gifted, talented, the pastor, classical pianist. Tremendous pianist. And so they had no one to lead worship there because the pastor was one that led worship. Kay was not old enough yet to lead worship. And so it fell on me. So I played the piano and led worship. And Steve Lobster played the drums. Amen. And when I first came to the church, Steve met me, and he's a wonderful guy, and he met me, and he said, "Hey, Pastor," he said, "I'm so glad to have you here. It's in Naples, Florida." And he said, "Oh, by the way," he says, I have a gig." I said, "What?" He said, "I have a gig." And I said, "You do?" I said, "What do you do, man?" He says, "I play at the beach club every Sunday night." I said, "Really?" I said, "What do you play?" He said, "Oh, man, we play rock, we play 80s, we play 70s, we play 60s. And I said, "Wow, man, that's awesome." And he said, "I reach so many people." And I said, "Man, that is, Steve, that is great, buddy." And so I gave him grace. I gave him grace, right? And so I said, "And you got to know this guy, man. This guy loves Jesus so much." And so I gave him grace, and here we are in kind of a law-based church, but he was teaching me some things. And all of a sudden, we were like, "You know, man, I can't hardly play this anymore. This is so difficult to play and to do all these things." And Steve said, "Hey, I'm ministering to my band." He said, "You know, Pastor, there's people I can reach that you'll never reach." I thought, "What?" He said, "There's people I have contact with, man, that you'll never have contact with. There's people that I can touch that you'll never touch." And I said, "You know, Steve, I'm sure that's true." And so all of a sudden on a Sunday morning, here comes this guy dragging a keyboard in. And I said, "Who's this?" And he said, "He's one of my band members." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, he's going to play for us. Do you mind?" I said, "Oh, I don't mind." And he said, "Oh," he whispered in my ear, he said, "Oh, by the way, he's Jewish." I said, "What?" He said, "He's Jewish." I said, "What?" He said, "No, he is a practicing Jew. He's Jewish." I said, "Come on, man." And he said, "Well, we need a piano player, don't we?" And I said, "Yeah, we do." And I said, "Let him play." Because I figured if he sat under the message, he would hear the message. And if he heard the message, he's going to receive Christ in his life, and he's going to transform him forever. Come on, somebody. Amen. I would not have reached him, but Steve Lobster reached him. He came to church. He started playing piano. He was fabulous. It's like, he heard the message. You know what happened to that Jewish boy? He became a messianic Jew. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. Amen. Amen. It was so cool, man, because he was hearing the message. Amen. And then a month or two later, here comes a bass player in. Boom, 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 boom. Where's Greg at? I love you, man. And you got to have rhythm in a band, right? So he came in, and he sat there. He is part of Steve's band, and he heard the message. He gave his life to Jesus. So we're getting all these people, man, and I'm not having to. I can actually concentrate on teaching the Word of God. And Steve taught me so much about God's grace and professionalism and entertainment. Do you realize there are Christians in entertainment? Come on, somebody. Guy and Grace people in here? There are a lot of Christians in entertainment. In fact, there's a lot of great people. Anybody know Tim Tebow? Tim Tebow, the reason Tim Tebow is Tim Tebow and can do what he does is because he has a platform to share Jesus. Now, they're up in the stands, and listen, Tim Tebow doesn't even go to church on Sunday because a lot of times he's been playing football on Sunday, and now he just got picked up with the Jaguars, I believe, and will be playing again on Sunday. But he goes there as a professional person, and he's there on a Sunday morning, and he's there, and he shares Jesus with all those people. He shares Jesus all across the networks because he puts a little ink on his face with scriptures on it. And while they're up in the stands cussing, drinking, and carrying on, Tim's down there playing football. And a lot of people would go, wow, but I'm like, man, go, Tim. This church is a different church. This church, we love people where they are. I love you where they are. I love people, and I want them, the Bible says, to grow in grace. Amen. You know, we have people in our church that are in all types of entertainment and all types of things, and I love them. Amen. Do you know we have someone that's the director of the opera? How many know we have a director of the opera, Indianapolis Opera, here? Right? Come on. That's awesome. And he's a great guy. I love him. And I was speaking to him this week, and you don't mind me sharing a little bit, do you, David? I know you wouldn't. But I speak, he says, you know, I've had challenges over the years because of my position as an opera leader. Because there's times I have to show the dark side, and there's times I have to show the light side. And he says, I show the dark side to let people know there is a dark side. And I show the light side to let people know there is a light side. But I don't know a whole lot about opera, but don't get religious on me. I've been to David's opera. It is fabulous. It is great entertainment. We were able to take the Menchezes a couple times. And the Menchezes said to me, this was the best thing I think we've ever been at. They enjoyed it so much. And so here's the thing. God is raising up a third awakening. There's a third awakening happening within the world right now. It's a third, listen to me, grace awakening. I talked with Andrew about this. And the reason it's happening is because so many people are in different positions around the world that are Christian, and that we've allowed the Hollywood to be Hollywood forever. And it's time that we have influence into Hollywood. We have influence into music. We have influence all around the world in the entertainment arts, because revival is going to take place among so many of those lost people that don't know the love of Jesus Christ. And it's going to happen through people like these and others and this younger generation. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's going to take place. And it's going to take place not by the preaching of the law, but by the showing of God's grace and love to people. Do you know that I've had homosexuals come into our church and sit under this ministry? You know, we've had lesbians in a lesbian lifestyle come in, sit under our ministry before. I didn't run them away. I didn't call out their sin. Folks, you don't have to call out people's faults and sin. In fact, the Bible says, put up Galatians 6:1. Look at this, Galatians 6:1. This is so good. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you which are spiritual, do what? Restore them. If you see someone that's having a struggle, go to them, pray for them, and restore them. Help them out. Bless them. Help them. Minister to them. Find out what's going on. Amen? Set your one in a spirit of what? Gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So I've had people come in our church all in Discovery Church and sit in our ministry. They're in all kinds of lifestyle. And I believe that the grace message and the Holy Spirit will change their life forever. If they open up to their heart to what God has for them and the love of God, you cannot help but be changed forever. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's the love of God that changes people. It's the goodness of God that causes men to repent. But we've got to give grace to people, and we've got to allow them to grow where they are. Turn to somebody, you know why? Because we need grace. So we extend grace to others because we need grace ourselves. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of grace. Ask Holly. She'll tell you, well, you need a lot of grace, honey. I love you, but you need some grace. Amen. Amen. And you know, the Bible says that over in Genesis, that God made Adam out of dirt. You know why I believe he made us out of dirt? Is so we'd always be remindful of where we came from. That we would not get a proud spirit about us or a haughty spirit about us, because the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You know, Adam was having a talk with God one day, and he is saying, hey, God. And God said, yes, Adam. He said, may I ask you a question? He said, certainly. He said, why did you make Eve so beautiful? God said back to Adam, so that you would like her. He said, oh. He said, well, God, can I ask you another question? God said, well, of course. He said, well, why did you make her so dumb? God said, so she'd like you. Come on. Come on, somebody. Adam. Sorry, Adam. I love you back there, brother. So, guys, Discovery Church is a grace place. We welcome people here. We welcome broken people. We welcome people that don't have it all together. We welcome people that are prostitutes, transvestites. We welcome them. We believe the power of grace can change their lives. That they don't have to be in sin. God doesn't want you living in sin. God doesn't want you living there. Amen. God's got better for you. Amen. So much better. Praise God. But that's who we are. We love people where they are. We are a grace place. Amen. And, you know, we've got to give people room for their gifts. How many know Paula White? Anybody know Paula White? Raise your hand if you know Paula, if you ever heard of Paula White. How many appreciate her ministry? Anybody appreciate her ministry? How many know that she stood by President Trump there? She had a position by President Trump, right? And it's really interesting because, do you know who Paula White's married to? Does anybody know? Somebody tell me. Who? Mr. White? Not anymore. You know who she's married to? Used to be, years ago. Jonathan who? Jonathan Cain. Jonathan Cain. Anybody know Jonathan Cain? Who knows Jonathan Cain? Anybody know Jonathan Cain? How many musicians know Jonathan Cain? Oh, you three guys, I would know that. Jonathan Cain is the lead pianist of Journey. Anybody know Journey? Now you may know who Journey. Don't Stop Believing was one of their songs. So I turned on Paula the other day. I was just kind of curious. I turned on Paula. Her theme song is Faithfully. And Jonathan Cain played the music on that. It's a Journey song. Jonathan Cain still goes out and plays with Journey. But Jonathan Cain is reaching people because of his influence more than anybody, I mean just powerful. It's just powerful influence. So God puts people in position of influence to reach people. God uses people's gifts to reach people that we can't reach. Amen? And I'm not too big in that, man. You know, I'm just like, hey, that's cool, right? I love music. Music's been in my life forever. I'm a musician. I'm a singer. I do play the piano. I do kind of play the drums a little bit, but I call it a snare. I do play guitar a little bit as well. Love music. But here's the thing, man. We've got to allow grace in our lives towards people. And let the grace of God minister to the hearts of those. Amen? Because God loves us where we are. Hallelujah. And he wants to transform us, and he transforms us by the power of the Holy Spirit and by grace. So we love people. Turn to somebody and say, this place loves people. One of the things I love about Andrew Womack's ministry is the fact it's established on grace, and number two, it's established on God's unconditional love. So we love people where they are. We pray for them. We pray they grow in grace. Amen. If something in their life is you know, going awry, you know, something's happening, if they got wrong thinking in their life, we go to them and we pray for them and we love them. Come on. Is that right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It says, hey, if something's going on with your brother, go to them. Go to them. And we pray for them and we love on people. So we want to love people around here. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen to that. How many believe we want to love people around this place? Amen? Hallelujah. How many know that God's going to send us in people of ill repute lifestyles? And how many know God's going to change them by the power of grace and the Holy Spirit? And how many know God's going to use some of you to lay hands on them and they're going to be delivered instantly? Woo! Hallelujah. How many of you know that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to work through your life to set people free? Change is going to take place. We are in the third great awakening. It is an awakening of God's grace. And Andrew spoke about this out there when I was in Colorado. It is awakening of God's grace. It is being poured out to people's lives because people are tired of religion. And they really need Jesus. Amen. Stand this morning. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So, God is good. I want our youth come down here. Stand up front, youth. Come on down here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Youths. I want our youths. Praise the Lord. Now, Ray, don't come yet, Ray. So I want you guys to stay here and face the congregation, right? Praise the Lord. Would you guys do that? So there's a great awakening taking place among our young people. It is a great awakening. It is a grace awakening taking place. I believe these kids have got power and authority in them. And here's the thing. Thank God, when I was in a legalistic church, I was 17 years old. I had hair longer than you, brother. Would you believe that? I had a lot of it too, just like you, man. I had hair down to here. There is such persecution for me having long hair. Anybody remember those days besides me? They told me, you got to cut your hair or you can't be saved. Well, I had a little rebellion in me. I'm sorry, I did. I was saved. I knew I was saved, but I wasn't going to cut my locks, man. It was like, no, you ain't doing that. I mean, I've got a picture. I'll put it up someday. You should see it. Amen. But I had long hair, but I had a pastor. His name was Frank Traficano. We are in the Church of God of Prophecy. Now, this was very legalistic. In fact, you couldn't wear a wedding ring. You couldn't say we're having a chicken breast dinner. It was chicken chest. That's how legalistic we were. Right? And this whole denomination was totally, and listen to me, if you were divorced, you could not be a member of that church, and you could not serve in ministry at all. I was in that. I was actually born again in that denomination, in that place. But I had a pastor who loved me. I don't know what he saw in me, but I guess he just saw, I don't know, just Jesus. His name is Frank Traficano. And he loved me. You know what? He never said one time, cut your hair. He never said one time, change those holy jeans, get rid of that t-shirt, do this, do that. He loved me where I was at. And I was there for 10 years. Now, during that 10 years time, my hair may have gotten a little shorter, but it wasn't him telling me. It was the Holy Spirit directing me. Because I felt like, hey, I need to be maybe a little bit more presentable here if I'm going to be a pastor. Maybe not. I didn't know. But that's just where I was at that time. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So this morning, if you have a need, and I know we're running way over time here, but I don't apologize for the Holy Spirit. But if you have a need this morning, Crystal, where's Crystal at? She's still here. Crystal, come up here. Give Crystal a good hand. Amen. Crystal, just feel right in here because we're going to call you a teenager today. I love you. You're such a blessing. Crystal does our prayer ministry. And I'm so thankful because a lot of times we do confession here. And the reason I do confession is because I want you to get what God has for you after the message. But this morning, if you have a need, if it's the smallest, minute need today, I want you to quickly come up here and stand in front of one of these youth. Would you do that right now? Come on, if you have a need for healing, whatever it might be, would you just come up and stand right in front of one of these youth? Do it now, quickly. I know there's several this morning. Come on, I know we prayed for some already, but if you've got a need, anybody else? Come on, if you do, praise God. Amen. Well, youth, I tell you what I'm going to have you do. I want you to stretch forth your hands towards the congregation this morning. Would you guys do that? Stretch forth your hands towards the congregation. Would you guys pray for them right now? I'm going to pray for them. Father, thank you today, Lord, that this is a place of love, grace, and acceptance. Thank you for our youth today. Thank you for everyone that is here, Lord. We just give you praise this morning. We just welcome everything you have for us in our lives, God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance today. Thank you, God, that you have set free, that you've healed, that you've brought the word forth this morning. And we give you praise for all your good things in our life today. God, we just thank you for people, and we love them, and we praise God for all their things they pour into our lives this morning. And Lord, we just bless them today. We call them blessed. We call them favored. We call them walking in righteousness and empowered to prosper. In your mighty name, amen and amen. Give God some praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you make sure you go around and hug one of these youth today and tell them you love them? In Jesus' name, amen.